I'm really both humbled and excited to be here because I have the unique opportunity of helping to set tone. What's my purpose here? My purpose is to prepare us for the rest of this reunion. And think about, what is a reunion to start with? A reunion is coming together again, to be reunited. And, you know, many of us have been here many times in the past. Some of us, maybe not. We have some teenagers that have had a whole week of reunion, more or less, up here at the camp. And I'm going to go get mine after a bit and bring them back. But they're going to be coming in. There's folks who are working today that live here in the area who are not going to be able to be here till this evening. There's people still traveling and, you know, maybe not be here till tomorrow. Or possibly not even till Sunday. But as we go through this weekend, there's going to be a gathering. A gathering physically and hopefully a gathering spiritually, that each of our spirits, whatever diversity that we have and whichever directions we're going, that we'll come together in unity. And if we take a step back and say, because, yeah, we're going meeting to meeting here, but let's take this reunion as a single meeting. What's the purpose of a reunion? It's to recharge our batteries and to prepare us for the next meeting. And you say, well, Benny, what's the next meeting? The next meeting is our daily life. Have you ever thought about that? The next service is a daily life for each of us. Every morning when we get up, whether we're going to work or we're retired and we're doing something else, or, you know, we're doing volunteer work, each and every day is an opportunity for service. And our meeting together in Gospel Bonds is to prepare us for that service. And the reason I say that is because, you know, Randy was preaching up here at the temple lot last Sunday morning, and I try real hard to listen to sermons, but Randy committed a fatal error. He said something that connected my mind to another place and another time, and my mind was off to the races in a totally different direction than his sermon was going. That wasn't necessarily bad, but what it meant was that I kind of missed a little bit of his sermon before I got myself corralled and back to thinking along where Randy was going. But what it did do is it gave me something for today. And Randy had mentioned the old path. And sometimes we don't think about what is our actual life. Our life is along a path. And that path lies straight before us. And sometimes we get distracted and we get off in the bushes. But what is it we do? And the reason I got distracted was because I just came back from New Mexico with our scout troop. And we were out there doing some trekking and some service projects for the National Forestry Service. But I started thinking about, you know, how many organizations in the world are actually principles-based? And scouting is one of them. And we have some things, and I thought, you know what? It really applies because it's very specific. And we have something called the buddy system. And the purpose of the buddy system is for safety. Pure and simple. You know, and each scout has a buddy, and they watch out for each other. And wherever they are, they're together so that if they get separated from the group and something goes wrong, there's somebody to go for help. There's, you know, some built-in protection, some built-in safety. And I thought about, you know what? How does that apply to each of us? Well, have you ever thought about the 23rd Psalm? Jump over there real quick. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, as I was reading that, I was thinking about backpacking. You're out on a trail. You may be walking beside the still waters. You may be in a semi-dangerous area. And there's reason to stay on the path. But you need a buddy. And I want to read one other thing here about this buddy system that we're talking about. I want to go to St. John chapter 15. And lest I lose any of you along the way, I want you to know that I realize that each and every subject that I hit this morning could be a whole sermon on its own. I know that. But I'm going to leave that to somebody else to do. I'm just trying to get us a few little ideas to help draw us in and help us focus on what reunion is about and help us to connect not only with the Lord but with each other and on a spiritual plane. Okay, I'm going to read verses 13 through 15 here in the 15th chapter. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And I want you just to think about it a little bit here this morning. Think about, have you made your Lord and Savior your buddy on the path of life? Because the buddy's purpose is to watch out for each other. Now, he's watching out for us, and he's doing his best to protect us. But we got to watch out for him, too. And you might say, yeah, well, how do you do that? I mean, he's Jesus Christ, the righteous. How do you watch out for him? Well, for those of us of the ministry, we've been called to a particular work. But each of you who are members, and even if you're not members, if you are believers, you have been called to service. The responsibilities may be different, but the service is a common link. And I have a coffee mug at home that I got as a gift years ago. And it says, each day, each new day, is a gift from God. What we do with it is our gift to Him. And so I want you to think about that and the building of that relationship with Jesus. Make Him your buddy in life. Depend on Him. Talk to Him. Walk with Him. Because you need it. I need it. We all need it. It's part of this human condition we have. And then, you know, as I got through that and I said, okay, you know, that's the buddy system. In our spiritual walk, Jesus Christ has to be our buddy. And the reason he has to be our buddy is because there's no other way nor means whereby salvation can be obtained except for in and through Jesus Christ. So he's it. He is our buddy. We can either choose to have a buddy or we can try to walk it alone. But I'm telling you, if you walk it alone, you're putting yourself in danger. Just don't do that. But then we have something else we call patrol method. And how patrol method applies to us here is as members of the body. And I'm not going to read all the different references, but you know, the body is fitly joined together, and there aren't all these, everybody doesn't have the same, you know, all's not the eye, all's not the hearing, but we all have a function and a purpose, and none of us is Lord over the other. We all work together. And patrol method says that we work together, we stay together. Another one of the things that Randy had talked about was taking this hike, and some folks got behind, and then the group got off the trail, and the folks that got behind were on the trail trying to catch up, and the folks that were on the trail were off the trail, and so they got ahead of them thinking they were still behind, and the problems that caused, because they had a breakdown in communication because they didn't keep contact. In this case, it was visual contact, but in other ways, it can be voice contact, it can be spiritual contact, but we get out of sync when we don't gather together oft. And it's great to be able to gather together physically. I happen to live in an area where I can't quite do that, but we have a grand experiment we're doing that has been a huge blessing to me, where we gathered together on a conference call for several of us who are scattered across the nation and not able to gather together here. It's nowhere near as good, but it's better than what we had, which was nothing. And so you get these little things where we can use the tools at our disposal to help us stay connected. So nobody gets left behind. Nobody's out of sync, at least not too far, and we can have discussions and get back in sync, because that's what we do. We don't want anybody to be forgotten. We don't want anybody left. The actual verses that I had here for that patrol method actually is... one about, it talks about people and the group and the lost ones, which in a spiritual tone are those who go astray. They get lost. They're off in the bushes somewhere. And there's a lot of danger out there, and we're trying to retrieve them from the bushes. So it's chapter 15, the first 10 verses of Luke. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. Okay, so the way it was looked on is like, okay, that's the kind of the dregs of society. They came to listen. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, but I want to, just before, I want to make sure that we as brothers and sisters don't become scribes and Pharisees. We're well educated in the gospel. We know a lot of things. But, you know, once we get that, you know, we're better than somebody else because we know more. And so, ooh, you know, they're icky. They got spiritual cooties, so we don't want to be around them. Yeah, we've destroyed the purpose. The purpose of this body of Christ is to be an inclusive group, to bring in, not to justify wrongdoing. See, that's one of those. That's where wisdom comes in. And Randy in his sermon talked about gaining knowledge, and we get that, and adding to knowledge brotherly kindness, and part of that is understanding. We need to know this gospel. Because you can't understand anything you don't know. You got to have the knowledge, then you have to understand how to apply it. So as we're gathering this all together, and putting it together, we need to understand what it is that we're doing so that our interplay, the way we address things, is a gathering thing to bring people in, to help them to understand what they need to correct in their lives without alienating them. And sometimes that's pretty tough. But it's something that we have to do. We're called to do it. We need to practice it. And we're not always going to do it right. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to alienate people. And I'm not going to say that that's okay. I'm just going to say that that's a hazard. But that doesn't mean quit trying. That means step back and say, what can I learn? What did I do here that I might do better next time so that the next time I can say the same thing with the same meaning, but have the person I'm talking to not be offended by it, but rather consider it as something that maybe they should apply to their lives. That is the challenge of the preacher from day one. How do I say it in such a way that it gets to you, that the Lord's Spirit can bear on you, and that you can say, yeah, I know how I can put this to work in my life. I say my prayers, you say your prayers, you pray for me, I pray for you, I speak, and hopefully we connect. That's the way it works. And I've even heard it called this foolishness of preaching, and I have to agree with that. It's sometimes I feel like such a fool up here trying to get things. But by the same token, I know in whom I've put my trust. I know who called me. I know what my purpose is. So in spite of my human failings, I continue on because I know that's what he wants me to do. That's my purpose. So get after it and learn. And that's the other thing. In everything, learn. There's always a lesson to be learned. And the more we know, the more we recognize that we don't know. And rather than being discouraged by that, think of that as a great opportunity. Okay, now we're going to go to the parable. This is the purpose why I got us here, and I got a little distracted. But I wanted to kind of bring this in as to how our daily lives, things that we do every day that we don't even think that it connects with, it's really a part of. This gospel is like the blood that flows through our body. You can't separate yourself from it. It's not like separation of church and state. It's in you. It's throughout you. It's a part of you. It's the very life of your being. So embrace it and use it to move yourself forward. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Now, he doesn't just go out and say, well, how many of you would go and spend half an hour, 20 minutes looking for it and say, "Meh, well, too bad, so sad, I'm done. I'm tired, you know. So much for that sheep." No, this just says, until you find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you likewise, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And both of these, it's not just spends time looking, searches until they're found. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So this patrol method is our care for each and every other member of the body. Not just the ones that we're familiar with, but everyone. And that has been a thing to me that over several years, it got started so many years ago. Gary Housenek started up the CCEG a long time ago. But I've been eternally grateful to him for doing that, because my life, I've been close to locals from time to time in my adult life, but rarely. And having that little connection, email, has been such a huge blessing to me. You know, using the tools at our disposal. What is it that we have available to us that we can use to help encourage ourselves, to encourage each other? Use all the tools. And the reason, this is kind of a funny thing, but at the same time, it's a very good word picture, is that the reason that we want to use all the tools, I want you to think about this, is because if the only tool you got is a hammer, everything miraculously resembles a nail. And that's not always the right tool. So what is the right tool? How do I use it? And how do I do it in such a way that we don't lose any other hikers, that we maintain that contact so that nobody's lost, but if they are lost, then we need our search party to go out. And it needs to be a search party that's equipped with a full pack of charity, because sometimes you need the full pack. Just like if you're going out in the wilderness to search for somebody who's lost, one of the most important things that's going to be in that pack is going to be water. To us, charity, that pure love of Jesus Christ, is like water. It is our survival. So, let's move on. I want to jump into the backpacking, because we've talked about it several times. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a situation that we had. Because in our spiritual backpack, we need to have the right things. You know, we need to have our shelter. You know, and I'm not going to go read it this morning, but we need the full armor in that backpack. And then, like I just said, that charity, we got to have our water. So we're going to have our full armor, our clothing, our shelter, and we're going to have that preparation. You know, we've got the right kind of shoes, we've got the right kind of socks, so that we can be out and we can do what we need to do. And we've got enough charity in that pack to keep us going. And we're going to stop along the way on this journey that we're on. And when we do, we're going to refill that charity pack. We're going to keep that going. As we go along, you know, when we're backpacking, we have filters, and we put them in the nearby stream, and we pump them so it filters out the impurities and it puts good water in our drinking stuff so that we can keep on going. Well, in this spiritual thing, our filter and our pump is prayer. That prayer is how we fill that vessel of charity so that we have it within us, so that it's keeping us going, so that we're properly spiritually hydrated, if you want to say it that way, so that we have what we need at our disposal to go forward. And so then we have to say, okay, let's think about necessities versus wants. And that, to me, that's been one of my biggest problems ever, is trying to separate needs from wants. Because sometimes we think things that we want are things that we need, and we identify them as needs, and then we start loading our pack down with them. And that adds weight. Useless weight. Here in New Mexico, I had a young father. It wasn't a scout. It was a young father who decided he needed a nice chair backpacking. So he packed a 7.5-pound, you know, fold-out chair. Coming back in, his hips and knees were hurting him so bad he could hardly move. Why? Because he was focused on comfort, not on need. He wasn't focused on what was necessary. He was focused on what he wanted. And he had other things in his pack. I mean, he ended up, his pack should have weighed about 35 to 40 pounds, and it weighed 50. And that doesn't sound like a lot until you walk with it on your back for 3 days. And then it gets real heavy. And so what we want to do is sort out those things, the cares of this world. Now, I really don't need that. Let me lay it over here. I mean, we've got somebody who's going to make our burden light, but who's going to expect us to carry our burden. But we've got to take these other things out of the pack. We don't need them. All they do is add weight. And if you think about it, okay, I've got my little thing of the world here, whatever it may be, whatever my priority is on, that's not on God, and I put it in my pack, I don't have as much room for that vessel of charity. There's only so much weight I can carry. And so any one of these other things that distract me, that I add into that pack, makes less room for God. And you need to think about that. Think about what is in my life. Because I'll tell you something. Other people can think about it for you, but it won't do any good. And all it is a temptation to them to be critical of you. And so I'm going to encourage all of you to not worry so much about what other people are doing. I mean, when you can help them out, help them out. But really consider yourself and what you're putting in your pack and what you can take out. I'm running a little bit short on time here. Let's go to Galatians here real quick. The 6th chapter. And I'm just going to read the first 6 verses, but I want you to think about what I just said as I read them. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now remember the thing I just said about whenever we start thinking about what faults other people have, it can be a temptation. And we have to be real careful that we don't get so into finding fault that we forget what our purpose is. lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Everybody carries their own backpack. Now, there are times when you can take something out of somebody else's pack that they really need, but they're not quite strong enough to carry it. The vessel of charity isn't one of them, but some of these other things are. Because the vessel of charity is something that everybody has to carry their own. But let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So we got to teach each other how to do this. You know, and what I do is I work with adults and scouts on what needs to be in there. And we do kind of a body weight to pack weight ratio. And if it gets to being more than about a third of your body weight, you got too much stuff. Something needs to change. You know, and sometimes we say, okay, we take the fly off of the tent and put it in that backpack, and the poles off of it and put it in that backpack, and the body of the tent, and it stays in this backpack. So we still have the tent, but it doesn't necessarily need to be all in one pack. And we can do that with some of these other things that say, okay, we need to have somebody cook the meals. Okay, well, that's good. But sometimes somebody can do the vegetables, and somebody can do the meat, and somebody, and it's all part of this, what's in the pack. But one person doesn't have to do it all. We can share that. And in fact, when we share it, it brings us closer together. It's a good thing. Okay, I want to go over to Matthew again. It's 11th chapter. I'm just going to read three verses here. And I'm just going to read verses 28 through 30, because this is Jesus speaking to us. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That doesn't mean that the load is not there. It just means that it's light. It will be enough for you to carry. And I'm going to tell you, I see it every day in my job. People that have loaded themselves down with so many cares of the world that they're just collapsing under the weight of it. They live in a sea of debt because they got to have the boat. And they didn't have the money, so they borrowed money for the boat. And they want this and they want that. And they got to have this because that's what everybody else has. And their kids have to drive new cars, not used cars, and they got to, you know, and pretty soon they're floundering because their minds are not on things spiritual. Their minds are in the world. Maybe we can help some of them, but the way we help them is to help ourselves so that we can set an example. I don't know, just a thought. Okay, now that we've got all these things, let's talk about our path. The path has hazards. We stay on the path. There's a reason to stay on the path. Because once you depart from the path, there are so many added dangers. In the physical world, there's rarely cactus in the path. But out in the Southwest, there's cactus everywhere off the path. There's rattlesnakes out there. And we encountered some. They weren't in the path. They were near the path, but they weren't in the path. And if you stayed in the path, you're safe. But if you got off the path in the wrong place, you might not be. So there's all these hazards, and we got to, and it's written in here. I can't tell you all the hazards out there. All I can tell you is there's more hazards out there than I could relate in a lifetime. But if you stay on the path, you don't have to worry about those. If you stay on the path, the biggest hazard you have is you. So I'm going to read a thing here, and then I'm going to talk a little bit. Let's go to 2 Nephi, chapter 6. And I'm going to read, start with verse 74. Remember, to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life eternal. O my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Do not say that I have spoken hard things against you, for if you do, this will revile against the truth. For I have spoken the words of your Maker. In this particular instance, Jacob was talking to this group who had fallen into all kinds of things. They got off the path. I know that the words of truth are hard against all uncleanness, but the righteous fear them not, for they love the truth and are not shaken. Now remember, when you hear the truth, not being shaken is one thing, but sometimes it's kind of a wake-up call that you hear it and it's like, oh, wow, I'm busted. Because we get these things in our heads and we go, and it's not so bad. And then the next thing comes along and, well, that's not so bad. And we just kind of, just little bitty pieces here and there. And then the wake-up call comes and it's the word of truth and it goes right through all the cloud and the fog and just right into your heart and says, okay, fix this. And when you hear that and when you feel that, don't be shaken. Rejoice. Because you know what that is? Remember way back at the beginning of the sermon, the buddy? He's looking out for you. He was just telling you, hey, there's danger. Straighten out your path. I'm looking out for you because I love you and I care for you. Listen to him. Because that's why he's there. He's there to take care of us. Oh, then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that his paths are righteousness. Behold, the way for man is narrow, and it lieth in a straight course before him, and the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. And whoso knocketh, to him will he open, and the wise and the learned, and they that are rich, and who are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom, and the riches, yea, they are they whom he despiseth. And say, they shall cast these things away, and consider themselves fools before God, and come down in the depths of humility, he will not open unto them. The reason I read that, remember, we also came back earlier and talked about, we don't want to become, because we have this gospel, and because we're educated in this gospel, we do not want to become the scribes and Pharisees of this gospel. Our job is to be the emissaries of Jesus Christ. Not to quibble and bicker, but to provide that impetus, that example, because we try the best we can to live this and to move forward. And when we make mistakes and we find mistakes, that we're willing to stand up and change. I'll refer you all to the story of David. God said David was a man after his own heart. And when you read about David and see the things that he did some great things and he did some absolutely horrendous things in his life. But here's a characteristic of the man. When God put it on him, the things that he did, he accepted his punishment without complaint and changed his life. He didn't just say, oh gee, sorry, and go back to the same thing again. He changed. In fact, when he was told the situation he was in, without being told it was him, he was angry and he was ready to take somebody and execute him. Because he saw how wrong it was. And when Samuel said, well, the Lord's not going to require that of you, but here's what's going to happen. He didn't like it. He prayed consistently until that baby died that he might be spared. And then he got up and he washed his face and he went about his work of being a king. And people came and said, well, what are you doing? Aren't you going to mourn that child? He said, no. While the child was yet alive, there was a chance that God would change his mind. But David knew who was responsible. It was him. And he accepted it and he moved on because he knew that child was not in jeopardy at any point. That child was fine. That child was resting in the arms of his maker. What he had was he had heartache and pain that he personally suffered because of his own wrongdoing. But he accepted it and he did what he needed to do because he was a man after God's own heart who accepted responsibility for his own actions and made changes when he came to realize that he was wrong. That's the kind of people we need to be. When we recognize that we're wrong, we need to change. And we don't need to be afraid to find out that we're wrong. You know, the la, 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 la that little kids do. As adults, we kind of do that too. We're not quite the same way. We don't do it quite so obviously, but we do that. And we need to be a little bit more willing to listen, a little bit slower to speak, so that we can make changes when we need to. Okay, I have one more here, and that's Messiah, because I want to talk about the hazard in the path, and the hazard in my path is me. Because we do this, the steep climb, we do the ascent, we work hard, we stop for our little breaks, recharge, and then we get past that, and we're on the downhill slope. Things seem pretty easy. And we look around and we say, you know what God ought to do? God really needs to do this. And I'm just the guy to help. And so it's going easy. So we think, you know, instead of just walking down this path, we can get there quicker if we run. And so we pick up the pace a bit. And then we pick up the pace a little more. And pretty soon, our legs can't keep up spiritually with what we're trying to accomplish because we took off without wisdom. And then we do a face plant in the path. And we get up and we're bruised and we're sore and we're saying, man, I knew that was the right thing to do. It was such a good thing, and it would have been such a huge blessing, and it would have been, you know, this fabulous stuff would have all happened if it had just turned out right. But instead, it just all crumbled under my feet, and it's a mess, and brother so-and-so is angry, and this other person is off, and they left, and how could that possibly happen to me? I'm all bruised and beaten up, but I'm in the path. Well, yeah, just got a little ahead of yourself. Sometimes we have to do a little bit of waiting on the Lord. We go running headlong down that path trying to get there quicker. Ain't necessarily so. Sometimes it slows us down because by the time we get out the first aid kit and bandage ourselves up and stuff like that, it's now slower than it was. So we need to wait for the Lord to be with us. And see, the other thing is, where's your buddy? He's not running along with you. You just left your buddy behind. Where's your protection? Where's your safety? Your safety's with your buddy. You need to stick by him. You go taking off, trying to race down there to get to the bottom first. Your buddy's not with you. You're without protection. Don't do it. It's bad. Okay, let's go to Messiah. Second chapter. And we're going to go jump down to the end of the chapter here. Benjamin is kind of wrapping things up, and he's talked to them about a lot of things. He's talked to them about life. He's talked to them about spiritual growth. He's talked to them about sin. He's talked to them about repentance. And now he's talking to them a little bit about taking care of each other and those around them, who may not be like-minded, but still stand in need. And now, for the sake of these things which I have spoken unto you, that is, for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins from day to day, that you may walk guiltless before God, I would that you should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants. And see that all these things are done in wisdom and order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than he has strength. And see, that's another reference back to this thing. I mean, we've talked about running before the Lord, and we just kind of got a word picture of what how that leads you. You get out there ahead of him, and bad things happen. The other thing that you need to do, though, is in this other thing, from a financial standpoint. We're talking about temporal matters here. And that's all good, because we have to realize that in this life, we're going to have our spiritual self. We're hooked up with our spiritual buddy. We've got our spiritual family or our patrol that we're working together to make sure everybody's okay and that we're all moving together. But because we are physical beings, we have to administer to the temporal need. Just a fact. We need to help each other out whenever we can. But what we don't do is put ourselves in a position where we negate our ability to help in the future because we did something and we overextended ourselves and now we've got another problem and we are in an economic collapse. Again, it goes back to the wisdom thing. Understanding of where you are and what you can do. And see that, I won't read that again, but don't run faster than you have strength. And again, it is expedient that he should be diligent that thereby he might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order. And I would that you remember that whosoever among you that borroweth of his neighbor should return the thing that he borroweth according as he doth agree. Or else thou shalt commit sin, and perhaps thou shalt cause thy neighbor to commit sin also. Have you thought about that? Just when you borrow something, you said, hey, I'll give it back to you on Tuesday, and then, oh, yeah, I forgot. And we kind of just pass it off. Well, if you do that too much, if that becomes the pattern, then it becomes broken trust. It's no longer just a, I forgot. What it actually translates to is I don't care. I made a commitment, but I don't care. Occasionally, I forgot. Yeah, that makes sense. But repeatedly, it's I don't care. And we have to recognize that and treat each other right. And whoever we happen to be friends with or borrow from. Because the day may come when they come to you and they say, you know, gee, I've noticed, you know, that you kind of live like this and you're not the richest guy in town. Or maybe you are, like, you know, Job was. But you carry a joy with you. There's something about you that's different. All this stuff doesn't seem to affect you the same way. Why is that? There's your opportunity. Now you can open up to them and tell them something. And you have something to share. You have everything to share. Have you ever thought about it that way? This gift is everything. You can't have salvation without it. It may not get you a boat, but what it is eternal life. Precious, precious, the most precious thing that could ever be. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby you may commit sin. I kind of referenced that earlier. For there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you. If you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, you must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. So this morning we've talked about our buddy, Jesus Christ the righteous, that each one of us needs to cultivate that relationship with. Because you don't want to just have him be an acquaintance. Yeah, I met him one time. No. You want him to be a friend. You need him to be a friend. He's your buddy on this path. Stick close to him. He's your safety. He's your protection. We've talked about how we take care of each other. We've talked about what needs to be in that spiritual backpack. And that each of us has the responsibility to consider carefully what we put in it, and that we don't put things in that spiritual backpack that stand between us and God. That we take those things out so that we have room for all the things that the Lord wants us to pack, because He's going to pack our pack lighter than we would. And He's going to help us carry that pack. And then the other is stay on the path, because the dangers off the path are far too great. And then even while we stay on that path, stick close to your buddy, because if you go taking off and leave your buddy behind, that's going to end badly. You're going to think you're doing good, but when you get to the end, it's going to fall apart and you're going to wonder why, and it's because you ran off and left your buddy sitting back there. So let's rejoice in this reunion. And let's embrace each other spiritually. And let's give great thanks for this gift we have of this restored gospel. The greatest gift known to mankind. And it's ours to share. Not to hoard, to share. So keep that prayer pump going and keep your vessel of charity full. And thank you for your time.